welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dale Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And welcome to another jam-packed edition of the Brother Streep Show.
It's episode 9.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good voice.
Little bit German.
Okay.
This episode is going to be einsprechender German.
I like it. How's everyone doing?
Fantastic.
Pretty good. I think I'll probably kick off this week.
Wow.
Because I've got a cool story.
You seem so excited. Far
cool
more excited than
story.
Usual.
Yeah, yeah. So, Claire's pregnant.
Oh, my word.
Whoa.
That is...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are massive. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. And today we went for a scan. We found out that 99% sure, because you can't always be sure,
yeah.
That it's a girl.
Yay.
Ooh, hello.
Yeah.
Can have a daughter.
This is so exciting.
So I thought I'd save it for, see your reactions. I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, this is amazing.
That is so great.
I had a sneaky suspicion you're trying.
Yeah.
I saw drinking wine.
Based on what?
Yeah.
That is a weird suspicion to have, unless he's told you.
No. So now we can bring up a story, which I think Simon's thinking of the same story.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
So, because there was an awkward encounter.
Yeah.
We're talking about Bolly's wedding.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know if you were in the conversation, Dylan.
I was at the wedding,
yeah.
But I don't know the conversation.
We had just found out that Claire was pregnant.
Oh, and yeah. I just smelt it
and,
on you.
And Simon, in the way that he does, it was kind of randomly suggesting to other people at the wedding that they shouldn't get pregnant yet and they should wait until he's ready.
Okay.
And then immediately, for some reason, turned to me and Claire and said, "Oh, so are you guys pregnant?" And we were deer in the headlights. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah. At that point, I hadn't assumed that you were pregnant, but I had assumed, based on your reaction, that you were at least trying.
Yeah.
And how exciting.
That's very exciting.
Thanks.
So are you going to name it Meryl?
Meryl Kerr. Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't have the same streep.
Okay, Streep Kerr.
Normally what happens when people are pregnant, I like to pretty much suggest that they call the child my name.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to know that I don't expect it.
Yeah.
But once again, I will suggest you call your child Simon. Now, I know that it's a girl.
Conventions would say that that's a poor choice for a girl.
But yeah. Hey, I want to stress...
Just add an E.
No, see, I want to stress that you're allowed to call your child Simon if you're going to go for the referencing me kind of way, but you're not allowed to call your daughter Simone.
Really?
Yeah, sorry.
You're not happy with that?
It's Simon
that's or... That's a slap in the face, really.
Or a completely different name.
Yeah.
So that's how I just don't really think Simone is a great name. I think they've taken a great name, taken Simon and gone, let's, put some pizzazz into it. They've added an E and they've made a mistake.
Are you sure that Simone wasn't first?
I'm not 100% certain.
Yeah.
But if it was, then Simon, vast improvement.
Simone is like Simon with a little bit added on. How Eve was made with the rib. It's like that, but with names.
Yeah. It's very good. So, I mean, you must be over the moon.
I'm right here. Right here.
Lovely.
I know we're very excited. It's kind of scary, though.
Okay. What at this stage, if you feel comfortable in the podcast, what are you scared about?
I guess that I'll be a terrible dad.
And never.
I'll turn her onto drugs.
Unlikely.
And then she'll get run over by a bus.
Never. Well, okay.
Unless she runs me over by a bus.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
those are both opportunities.
Look, I can't say that she won't run you over in a bus.
Yeah.
Because stranger things have happened. But I doubt you'd be a terrible dad.
Yeah. I mean, you went to scouts.
I did go to scouts. That's true.
Didn't that train you how to be a good dad?
Yeah. Didn't you get your parenting badge?
A dad badge.
That would be such a weird badge. That's good.
I can teach her how to make fires.
Yeah. And Jimmy, 14, has just got his parenting badge.
If I were you, I'd call her Ray after Ray from the new Star Wars film.
Interesting you should say that. Apparently it's become quite a popular name.
Well, yes, and so it should have.
But
become.
Then the, also again, so if listeners
well,
don't
Qui-Gon
know my
Kerr isn't exactly
listeners will probably know that my surname is Kerr, and so that does limit us in terms of the names we can choose.
And so funny ones
we could do this now, or you could just think about them in your head, because some of them get quite rude quite quickly.
Oh, like one.
Yeah, exactly.
If she's somehow half Asian.
All right. Kerr, I think you're going to be a great dad.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon.
And I also think that for the
thank
record.
Thank you, Dylan.
I mean,
I thought it first, though, so.
I can be found in streeping around.
Well, I drove past a person or behind a person with one of those bumper stickers that says, how's my driving? Mm-hmm. Call this number. Not the funny one. Call 1-2-800, shut the up. Which is so dumb. But anyway, this was a real one. And it got me thinking, does anyone who drives well ever have one of those? Or are they like somehow just stuck on bad drivers' trucks? Second question, does anyone ever call those numbers?
Well, that's the thing. If you like compliments and you drive well, then you might want that on the back of your car so you can get calls every now and going, just so you know, that was an impeccable right turn. Yeah. I really loved the way you slowed down at the intersection. Marvelous.
I'm sure they are only anticipating bad things, criticisms, and ways to improve. Which, you know, I guess more power to them. I wouldn't stick my number on the back of my car.
I don't think it's meant to go to the person. Doesn't it go to the company?
Yeah.
Because that would be terrible if it went to the person. Because
they're driving.
Yeah, he's already driving badly and all of a sudden he's fumbling to get a phone call.
Yeah.
It's not going to work well
at all.
Have
you ever considered phoning one of those numbers?
I think I've considered texting them before. I feel like a phone call might be too hectic, but a little sneaky text. And not to complain, just to be like...
Oh, like a nice one.
Yeah, like a well done.
I'm considering phoning the number for 1-800-FU and just seeing who's on the other end of the line.
That really backfired for that guy.
Because like that is, how am I driving? You just answer, you're driving in a car. That's how you're driving.
Well, I saw a weird thing in traffic driving to work the other day. First, at the robots, a truck pulled up. And it looked like there was a guy eating an onion. Now, this is the morning. It honestly looked like he was taking a bite out of an onion.
Okay.
And then the car behind him pulled up when he went through. And the dude was still brushing his teeth. I'm not joking. It was so strange.
I hope the guy eating an onion is going to brush his teeth next.
That's the thing.
A terrible breath way to start your day.
It felt like both of them were still finishing the morning rituals and were at different stages of them.
What do you mean the morning rituals? Well, which morning ritual
onions.
Is eating an onion? Just the standards, shower, eat an onion, brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a vampire or doesn't want to be eaten by a vampire.
Yeah.
More likely.
Or maybe he's made the mistake of buying just plain cheese chips.
Yeah.
And he's thinking if he eats his whole onion now, by the time he has his later packet of chips, it will be cheese and onion.
Yeah.
I snuck by a poor word there, like Lily.
Yeah, I like
it. But it made me think, do you like Lily for a name for your
It's a good
daughter?
Name.
Lily Kerr.
It does remind me of Chris Lily. And
that's fine.
It is fine, but I don't want to be reminded of Mr. G every time I look at my daughter.
Or Jermay for that.
Or Jermay.
Are you thinking of theming your children's names? So already I'm trying to kind of convince my wife that exclusively names from Lost is going to be the
Evangeline
way
Lily.
We go. Oh, there we go. There's a connection. Are you going to do a similar thing? Are you thinking of like...
Scout names.
Characters from characters from World of Kerr, your web series used to have. Maybe Jim Phillips. Yeah, maybe Philippa. There we go. Philippa.
Characters from Robot Wars. She could be Matilda.
There is a Philippa. Matilda's good. Dead Metal. That's a great one.
Yeah, so...
Yellow Kerr. Go well.
I don't know. I should think of that.
Congratulations. That's just fantastic news.
Thank you.
Now, I'm afraid to do this because it seems like most podcasts we somehow end up talking about toilets.
Yep.
But let's link it in because baby on the way, nappies, toilets. Here we go. So I was at a time away recently, a little kind of staff time away, and I was sitting in the cubicle and I saw the
you
sign. Sitting
okay,
in the cubicle,
sorry.
Yeah. And
that's
sign,
a great euphemism.
The sign basically kind of had like a make sure everything's clean before you leave sort of thing. And then pretty much showed a picture of the toilet brush. And it's made me think.
Not a photo.
No, just a drawn picture.
Yeah.
But it has made me think like, has anyone ever actually used a toilet brush before? And
yes.
And if so, how do you clean the toilet brush?
Yeah. First question,
easy.
Definite yes. Second question, no idea.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever get clean.
I think you use it until it becomes clear that you need a new one, and
like
then you just buy a new one.
But surely...
Till the bristles start fraying. Gross.
If you're using that to clean the contents of a toilet,
then
I would rather just keep the brush clean and leave that in the bowl because, quite frankly, you're just creating the same situation but on another item in your bathroom.
Well, I'll let you in on my little secret.
Okay, I'd love to hear this little secret.
Twisty wrist.
Twisty wrist. Yeah. Okay.
So scrape away.
Yeah.
Flush. Keep the thing in amongst the flush, yeah, the torrent of the flush, and give it a little twisty twisty. Yeah. As the water flows over it.
That does help.
And it tends to come out pretty spick and span.
But now both of you are saying this as if this is a regular occurrence. Do you guys often use this toilet brush?
No. Not regularly.
Am I just a terrible human being that I've never thought of using a toilet brush?
Well, the fact that you've never used one is worrying.
No, it's not worrying unless you're leaving a toilet in a situation that warrants using a toilet brush every time.
No, but you should be using it when you are like doing your, I don't know, however weekly or monthly clean. So you add the stuff and you give it a nice spruce up with the brush.
Oh, so is this the main use of the toilet brush? Is mainly for a little bit of stirring?
It's not just break glass in case of emergency.
Okay, all right.
I assumed it was.
That's good news. Well, I've asked a genuine question. I've gotten some genuine answers. I'm very excited now to have a situation where I get to use my toilet brush.
I do find it odd to be in like other people's houses, and if there is a situation that requires toilet brushing,
yeah,
to pull this thing out of its little chamber or its hyperbaric chamber where all manner of sins are festering, add your little like part to it and put it back in someone else's house. There's a thing in someone else's house that I've used to do that with, and it's sitting in their house. That's odd.
Look, I feel it's a disgusting invention.
Better than a coat hanger though. You've gone up to your wrist in coat hanger before.
What?
And the story ends there. You'll never know. Andrew, were you not at the fateful bri at my house?
I
will share the story.
I don't know.
Because I feel like...
Well, you need to now.
In some people's eyes, I've come out of the story very well. In other people's eyes, I've come out of the story very badly.
Guilty.
But basically, what happened is that we were at the fine young Dylan's house, and we were having a bri.
Was quite young. It's probably about 4 years ago.
Someone used the bathrooms. They went to a blute. And they left behind perhaps more than they were bargaining to leave behind.
Oh, so it wasn't you. It was someone else.
It wasn't me.
Well, this is the mystery. Well, he'll say it wasn't him.
Okay. Yeah.
This will come up in true or false one day.
All right.
Well, it will be revealed. But basically what happened is the person who was abluting, they weren't quite able to seemingly get rid of everything that
they didn't use a toilet brush. Let's put it that way.
They had brought stuff to the table and the toilet had been like... I don't know if I can deal with this.
Yeah, I don't need that.
It just festered. And basically, Dylan's toilet had a bit of a clog. So no one could figure out who it was. People denied everything. We all thought it was Nicholas Key, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But he still denies it. So we don't know if it was him. It could have been a very embarrassed female that was there. Who knows?
He or a she.
Yeah, Lauren Willens. Let's just say Lauren Willens.
I reckon the names are flying.
I reckon it's definitely Lauren Willens.
That's new. I've got my thoughts, but I'm not going to share them.
But anyway, no one is really doing anything about it. And I could see that that Dill was looking a bit worried about the state of his bathroom.
Stressed out.
He just pictured basically flushing just where the water just would flow over the bowl.
Water and then some in this case.
And then flood his whole house. And no one wants to kind of have that, especially with water restrictions.
Yeah.
So I thought, let me help. I'm not afraid of whatever might be in there. And so I took...
Of course you aren't. It comes from you.
No, it didn't. That's the thing. So I valiantly went in there to save the day. I got some plastic bags, put them over my hands and a bit of my arms, tried to see what I could do. But this absolute act of what I think can only be described as heroism, unfortunately...
You were going to say terrorism.
Unfortunately made other people think...
It was heroism after an act of terrorism.
Unfortunately made people think that I was the guilty party.
It's so just how quickly you were okay...
It's so unfair.
I think you'll find Hugh smelted, dealted.
Can I interject, right?
Well, that means everyone dealted in that house.
You don't get Mother Teresa being blamed for all the starving people that she's helping. I feel that's what's happened here, is I've gone
and analogy.
Done the good thing, and people have gone, Calcutta, that's your fault, Mother Teresa.
This is your chance to clear your name. Was it you?
It was not me.
Well,
fair enough.
Dylan, you're going to have to find someone else's
scapegoat. I'm not convinced, but that's fine. I prefer it to be a lingering mystery, unlike in the toilet.
Yeah, I was going to say, prefer it to be a lingering mystery. You shouldn't have let me get involved at all.
Is it true? Is it false? True or false?
Welcome to True or False. The name the jingle says the section is called, and the name that I agree that it's called.
What is the point of these jingles? We just explain them so much afterwards. I love it.
This edition of True or False is high school based, so I'm expecting everyone, including myself, to share a little story from their high school days, and the rest of us get to decide whether that story is indeed true or false. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. In early grade 11, I turned down a role in an assembly presentation, which I attribute to the reason I didn't make prefect.
Ah.
There's my... my factoid.
Interesting.
Feel like digging any deeper.
Well, I think we all know you didn't make prefect because you crashed the computer systems with your strange files.
That was primary school, I think you'll find.
Well, that's lingered for many years.
Yeah,
true. People knew you.
That was on my record.
Okay, so I'm afraid to dig into this because this might be a sore spot for you if this is true. So what were you asked to do in assembly?
It was one of these things where the grade 11s were... It was almost like a fashion show, but not the actual fashion show.
Okay.
And there were a number of different songs that would play, and groups of two or three or four, or like a bigger group, would come out and do some form of... What's the word? Presentation. Mm. It's not a presentation. It's like a fashion show, basically.
Yeah.
The one I was meant to take part in was a beach... thing.
Okay.
And the word speedos was thrown around.
Ooh.
And now I just didn't feel comfortable.
Okay.
So I kind of said, I don't think I can do that. I'm sorry to let you all down, teacher. And then the four guys who did end up doing it, this thing proved to be so popular, like the school went nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there in my full uniform going, okay. I could have actually probably done that. But anyway, they all ended up as prefects.
Okay. Now...
Wow.
And they weren't necessarily academically the best students, as neither was I.
All right. So you think
neither was I. English is my tool.
The way to being a prefect then is to wear a speedo. Everyone goes nuts.
Well, as I say, I attributed, lovely. I attribute this thing in my own head to being the factor. Obviously, there's more factors, but I think if you look at the prefect system, besides maybe the real nerdy ones who are getting in on the academics, it seems to be quite a popularity thing, especially when it comes down to the grade voting.
That's true.
And so I feel like had I been in this thing, I might have got that little bit of popularity boost to give me those votes.
Now, I can believe... Dylan feeling uncomfortable in the speedo, not because I've seen you in a speedo and don't like him or anything like that. But many people won't know this because we didn't do it, but we were asked to be in the Marie Claire Naked issue as the band.
It's true. Can you
they
believe
were,
it?
Look,
really?
Yeah.
It is true. To be fair, I last think they year. Were really running out of people to ask. Because by the time you get to the Brothers Streep, it means you've kind of ticked off a whole bunch of people.
Well, you've definitely passed on a Carsten.
Pseudo-celebs.
And aching.
And Dill definitely was one of the people that was pretty much automatically no. And I respect that answer. But that does mean
in hindsight, I think when I saw the issue that came out, Deep Fried Man was in it. I thought, we could have done that.
So I do think perhaps there could be something to this not wanting to be in a speedo in front of the whole school. Fashion shows in general are quite a strange idea for high schools to put on because there is that element of it's meant kind of for, I guess, the girls to sort of swoon over the guys a bit and then the guys to swoon over the girls.
Sure.
But the problem is like only half of the audience is in high school and the other half are parents and teachers, which is a bit strange.
That's actually a very good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Grandparents.
Just a bit strange.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know. There's my fact. If there's anything more you want to ask me or not.
I think I know enough. I think I'll say that is true.
I don't think that just because they wore speedos, they became prefects.
Well, that's not the fact. The fact is that this event happened.
Yeah, but I think you're up for stuff, and therefore that you might have done it. Even if the story's not true, I think you would have done it.
Oh, okay. That's
so interesting. I'm gonna go that it's false. Okay.
Well, it is false.
Hey!
What? Oh, no.
This did not actually happen in any way or form.
Oh. would you have done it, though?
Not probably not the speedos. But they wouldn't have asked for speedos.
They might have.
Yeah. No, know. They would have been board shorts. I might have done that. I was pretty ripped back then.
Crotchless panties.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right. Okay. So when I was in grade 8, mm-hmm. I made it to the final heat of the 100 meter dash.
Sorry, what?
You know the 100 meter sprints?
Yeah.
I made it to the finals.
Out of
the final
what?
Heat.
Who all was doing
in the, it? Do you guys, athletics competitions?
Inter school or
No, like within the school.
So in the school,
we had a sports day.
Yeah, like a kind right, of sports day.
So you
day
made
like.
It to the final. Who were you racing against? The whole school or just your
it was
grade?
Eight
no,
people,
so
probably, yeah.
So at my school, you start off and you kind of, I think you do like one test heat and then you do another one, but they just whittle down all of the runners and then it's the finals.
Well, this is interesting because I actually have the exact same story and it's true.
Yeah.
But I came 7th out of 8 in that final heat.
Yeah, I came 8th out of 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Were we at the same school? I remember that being very embarrassing because I'd kind of done quite well in the other ones.
Oh, really?
I thought, this is awesome.
And you'd eliminated
I'm
all
like
of them.
Really fast.
This is a piece of cake. I can believe Andrew would do well because he's got long legs.
Yeah, look
I know
at that
sounds
stride.
Like an you know, a weird thing, but I definitely think having long legs helps you. But then, and that also helps you not necessarily succeed when it comes to the actual finals, because you realize that maybe the reason you beat all those other kids were because not because you were necessarily fast, just because your legs were slightly longer.
What other things would he be good at with his stature?
Long jump. Be good at high jump and
long jump.
Pole vault without a pole.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Just kind of.
We didn't have pole vault.
Just climb over.
I did the shot put as well,
okay.
But I was pretty bad at that. No upper body strength.
I've never been good at shot puts.
No.
It's just too heavy.
Do you need upper body strength for that thing? How heavy is that thing?
Yeah, it's very technique based.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not upper body strength.
Yeah, but you need, your technique has to include upper body strength.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Discus? It's just frisbee.
Oh, I thought you were saying discus. Yeah, no, we did have that, but I didn't do it.
I feel that this might be true.
Yeah.
Because it's a boring thing to make up.
It's an awful thing to make up. If you're going to make it up, why would you make up that you came last? At least like 6th or 4th. Definitely not in the top 3. Yeah, I'm going true.
Going true.
Well, it's false.
No.
Well,
I made it up.
You've just
all
shown.
I made it all up. I thought you were going to ask me, like, I thought you were going to be more incredulous and didn't think that I'd make the finals. And my comeback to that.
I've seen you walk. Your walk is like a fast sprint.
My comeback to that was that it was a mistake and that it was someone called Andrew Creer who was much faster than me.
Ah.
Who made it to the finals, but we didn't get that far. So.
Wow. You're well, that's wrong. Definitely more interesting than what it ended up being.
I'm sorry that we disappointed you.
No, it's fine.
In terms of not going down your made up thought trends.
Well, at least the thing that I made up is definitely more interesting. So when I was in I think it was grade 9, I'm going to say grade 9, I managed to convince one of the new students that our female teacher was a man.
What was her name?
Her name, and she was definitely her, was Nicole Masaryk.
Okay.
Wait, who are we talking about now? The teacher or the student?
Okay,
Nicole Masaryk.
Why definitely a her?
Well, because of, what do you mean why definitely a her?
Well, if you're saying that you managed to convince someone, but then you're saying it's definitely a her, then surely it's blatantly obvious.
She must have been 50-50.
No, she was 100%.
Had this new student ever seen the teacher?
Had this new student ever seen a woman?
So, basically, we were very good,
liars.
Myself and my friend. Yeah, we're very good liars. So, we were able to convince this poor, impressionable new student, whose name was Catherine, that our teacher, Nicole, was in fact a man. And was obviously...
Based on what?
Well, we had said that she was
He?
Post-op. So
oh, my goodness. Like had changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had been a man and is now a female.
This is different. Might I ask what Mr. / Mrs. Masaryk does or did teach?
She taught biology if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course, biology.
So, well, she's, you know, the ideal person to know how to make that switch. She knows, how the body works.
Yeah.
And she was our register teacher. So we saw kind of every day, regardless to whether we had biology or not.
Okay, so you managed to convince this person.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, so was her voice like deep? Like,
okay, so her voice was not deep.
Did she have a bob shortcut or something?
An Adam's apple.
So, I mean, I must stress.
Yeah, a beard.
She looked and still does look very much like a woman. It was nothing to do with the appearance or
even the way. Who is this person to you? Why do you still know her?
I just do happen to still know her. But anyway, that's not the truth of the lie.
It's kind of interesting.
Forget I said that.
Right.
So you asked about the voice. Now, there was a moment where obviously this person we were trying to convince was not really believing our tall tale.
Yeah.
So
sort of from the start, basically.
Yeah, the point.
And then kind of that moment
point
lingered.
It started.
And has lingered up till this day.
No, but remember my...
Your factoid is that you managed to convince.
Yes.
Right.
And so it became very clear that we might need reinforcements, some sort of further evidence to back this ludicrous claim.
If you go to the teacher.
Pardon?
Carry on.
We went to the teacher.
Oh, my goodness.
We went to the teacher and told the teacher the lie we had spun.
Yeah.
This is such rubbish.
And said that what we're going to do is we're going to get this Catherine to come after class and ask the question. And if she could just say yes, then that would be great.
What did you say her name was again?
Catherine.
No, the teacher.
Nicole.
What was her surname?
Maserick.
Maserick.
I don't know.
So,
what did you see her? Okay, so this happens.
I should probably finish this because this will help you decide that I am definitely not lying.
Right.
Right. Is not only did the teacher play along, but when good old Catherine went to the teacher and said, "Is it true that you used to be a man?"
Yeah.
The teacher went, "Yes."
Oh, my goodness.
And at that moment, Catherine was very shocked and kind of left the classroom as fast as possible.
Okay, so, I mean, how long did this ruse last?
I think we told her not long after that moment itself because we feared her perhaps...
Spreading a rumor
and like asking to be removed from the school.
Did you continue to kind of reminisce about this funny thing that happened later on into high school?
Truth is, I don't think we did. I think it was very much something that just happened in the beginning of grade 9 and then kind of forgot about it.
Did you have her as a register teacher again?
No, she was only our register teacher in grade 9.
Okay, well, I'm ready.
Was she anyone's register teacher in grade 10?
I don't know.
Was she still at the school in grade 10?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Of course, that's very appropriate. Basically, I've been sitting here going, I was in the same school as you, and there was never, that I can recall, a teacher with the surname Maserick. It's not a surname that I've ever heard before in my life, and I think it is one that you would suddenly remember if you heard it for the second time in your life. There was, however, Dr. Mihalik, and I'm starting to wonder, that's why I had to check.
Well, you know, he used to be a woman.
Yeah, doctor of cosmetic surgery.
I'm ready to rule that. So I'm saying like false.
There were so many fun details.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, the teacher went, yes. I like all of that, but I've got the inside scoop here. I was at the same school, and I have to say false. I don't remember any Maserick's.
Okay, fair enough. And you?
I said false ages
ago.
Are
you sure, though? Do you want to just maybe go true?
No,
so I can earn some points.
This is rubbish.
Okay, well, in fact, this story is completely true.
Really?
Oh. Yep. Myself and my friend Gary, do not encourage Gary.
My word.
He was involved in this.
It's amazing.
And we both managed to convince.
Are you sure it was Mrs. Maserick?
It was definitely Mrs. Maserick. And she just might have not been at the school when you were in grade 8.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
That's nice. Yours.
I like it a lot.
Switch. Flop. Flop. Switch. Flop.
It's time for Switch Flop. And this is a game where I give the brothers a topic that they have to argue for. If I say switch, they have to switch their view on the topic. If I say...
That's wrong.
That's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice one.
If I say flop, they have to flop their view on the topic. And if I say switch,
what does that mean?
They change opinion.
This is the worst intro to
a
round ever.
If I say switch, that switches between the brothers, and they have to carry on the argument.
Cool. So if you got all that, then that's a miracle.
Listen, you guys know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we want the audience to know what's going on. Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm gonna. Sorry, I was just trying to adjust my voice to be a little bit more like Simon's.
Well, Simon's going to kick us off.
When did this become a Simon impersonation round?
It became so that this round can be even more confusing.
We watched
amongst opinions and between two people who sound the same.
I watched a Big Fat Quiz the other day, and Claire was watching and was like, Jimmy Carr sounds exactly like Simon when he laughs.
Simon sounds exactly like Jimmy Carr when he laughs.
No, I did it the right way.
What came first?
Interesting fact about Claire, pregnant.
Do I get a point for that?
No. Why would you get a point? It was Dylan's fact. Okay, so Simon.
Man.
You're going to argue.
We might lead all this.
So, Switch Flop is a game where the brothers have to argue a point. And if I say flop, they change their opinion. If I say switch, the brothers switch, and they have to carry on arguing with one left off. So, Simon, you're going to kick us off. And your topic, you love meat and you hate veggies.
That's okay. Easy, because that's true. Well, everyone, I'm Simon Favec, and everyone knows that I eat meat. Now, I've never once thought, flop. Maybe I shouldn't eat meat, except the other day when I thought that, I was like, flip. I need to get meat out of my life. Clearly, it's just making me lethargic.
Switch. Unhealthy. I'm not losing any weight. Turns out vegetables are much better for you.
Flop.
And thing, when you kill vegetables, you're killing the food that the animals need to eat in the first place to survive. So I say only eat the meat. The vegetables will grow and flourish, and then there'll be more meat somehow, because I just love eating
switch
vegetables. Oh wait.
Yeah, you're on meat still.
Meat.
Switch. I do love eating meat. I kind of feel like it's better if meat comes packed in meat. I think that's the ultimate food, is when you get those turduckens. I want to put those turduckens away and just have vegetables stuffed with vegetables. I want to put a tomato inside a broccoli.
Switch.
Inside a cauliflower. Obviously, that's the tombok col, which is a classic thing around Christmas.
Flop.
I find that Christmas is actually a terrible time to be a vegetarian, and all vegetarians deserve no presents. My favorite present this year was a big stick of biltong.
Switch.
That I ate in my caravan, because that's where I like to sit back and eat.
Well done. Well done. I think Simon wins that round.
Thanks. That makes sense.
Yeah. The second round we're going to argue is that dinosaurs are amazing.
Okay.
So Dylan, you're going to kick us off.
Dinosaurs are amazing. They were amazing, and they continue to be amazing, because whenever I look at them, I am completely amazed.
Flop.
At how boring they are and how many people seem to still go on and on.
Switch.
Jurassic Park is such a boring film. Oh my gosh, Steven Spielberg, what were you thinking?
Flop.
You were thinking he's a genius. I mean, it's so much more exciting than E.T. and Schindler's List.
Switch.
It's true. I mean, Schindler's List, full of death of humans. Jurassic Park,
flop.
Full of death of a franchise. The new film is so bad and so boring that it's made me kind of lose faith in dinosaurs.
Switch.
And in fact, I'm not into sure if dinosaurs exist. That's how bad Jurassic Park was. I thought, this is just like all those other films where they've got, you know, a wolf man running around and very unbelievable. But then I did my research and they do exist, and they're flipping fantastic. Oh my word, did you know that there's a dinosaur that can fly?
Switch.
I mean,
there is a dinosaur that can walk. When I was young, I absolutely loved them. I was digging around in my garden trying to find a dinosaur, and you wouldn't believe it, I didn't. But I was still very, very imaginative, and I thought, this is a magical world that I live in with actual card magic. Card magic is so much more real than dinosaur magic. Dinosaur magic is for idiots, young kids who think that some kind of a big monster. I mean, it's basically just lizards on steroids.
I think we'll leave it there. Lizards on steroids.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Well done, Dill. You
Can
won
I
that
win
one.
It?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Wow.
Lizards on steroids.
I thought I won that one, but okay.
S-L-A-N-D-E-R-O-U-S.
Slanderous.
Now, a lot of you may be thinking, what is this new section about? Well, it's really simple. We do not have a sponsor for our podcast. Yeah. We've tried, emailed countless, maybe one or two people, and we just have yet to pick up someone that's gone, I love the show enough, I'm going to give you money. So we kind of thought, well, what can we do to help a company feel like sponsoring us is a good idea?
Yeah.
And that's when we had the genius idea. If we just pick a company each week and say that we're going to completely slander their name until they agree to sponsor us,
drag them through the mud,
then maybe they will just sponsor us so that we stop saying bad things about them. It's basically a hostage situation.
It's completely unfounded. There's nothing this company's done to us.
No, and in fact
they're probably a lovely company. Wait, hold on, I'm breaking the section, sorry.
In fact, to be honest, we are definitely making up all the bad things that this company has done, and we don't even believe it. But we're going to continue saying it until we get a sponsor. So I think Coke. I wouldn't mind Coke sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, interesting. I love Coke, but the problem is it's poisonous.
It is poisonous.
Oh, man.
I've drunken, I think the other day I had 2 liters of Coke, and I realized that one of my fingers fell off.
Wow.
Which one?
Pinky finger.
Good. Really, as long as it's not the middle one, which I stick right up to Coke for not sponsoring the show. Do you know that if you put your teeth in Coke forever, they'll fall out?
Really?
Yeah.
That is true. And if you
did
put
they
your,
not think about that?
I think it's terrible that they didn't do the research.
Yeah.
Because I know definitely when I'm older one day and have false teeth, I love Coke, or used to love Coke so much that that would probably be the glass of liquid that I have next to my bed. So I'm probably going to put my teeth into that little nice little glass.
I'll tell you what, Pepsi's better.
Way better. Pepsi actually saves lives. I've heard rumors in the hospitals they don't actually like to use saline drips anymore. They like to just put Pepsi straight into people's systems because that's how good it is.
Well, you know what Coke rhymes with? Broke.
Yeah.
And you know what Pepsi rhymes with? Nothing. So
exactly.
That,
so they must
that
be
tells
better.
You something.
I watched a film the other day and there was Coke in the background of one scene on the product placement. I threw a brick at my TV.
Wow.
I was so sickened. I threw a brick and then I threw up.
I was going to ask you why is there a hole in your TV and what's that smell? Oh. And now I know.
Yeah. So I find that the smell of vomit is better than the taste of Coke.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's awful.
I'm tired of Coke sponsoring sports events, to be honest.
Yeah.
I will now not watch any sports event that Coke sponsors, which means that I do not watch any sports events now.
Now.
It's bad enough that they won't sponsor our podcast and spend all their money sponsoring sports.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that we would say about Coke if they did sponsor us?
Delicious.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of
very tasty.
It's a very successful company and they've done their marketing very
well. Good for your heart.
Good, great for your heart. Good for your teeth.
Yeah,
I
excellent
find.
For the teeth.
Good for your bones. Good for your appendages. I've drunk Coke the other day and I grew a finger.
So long as it wasn't another middle one. I found that when I drank it, I've not thrown up since. It's almost like a curing agent for bad stomach vibes.
Wow.
And movies tend to be better when they're in them.
Yeah.
Because those movies have more money to be better. Yeah. So I guess that's the end of slanderous, so don't buy Coke. But I do like what you said in that section when we were talking about the positive things of Coke, is I do like that it does seem to be recommended to have when you're sick. It's like you're feeling a bit down in the dumps because you're aching and you're throwing up or just life isn't great.
Yeah.
And then you kind of sort of prescribed a little cheeky Coke. It's wonderful.
But
makes me want to be sick more
not
often.
Not the Coke that you would ordinarily want. It's the Coke that's been poured into a glass and then poured between two glasses. Maybe there's a bit of sugar that's been stirred in to get rid of the bubbles.
We do the sugar route.
What?
I do pour
what
from
this?
Glass to glass.
So you shouldn't have fizzy Coke when you're sick. You should have flat Coke. So
wow.
The different methods to get Coke flat. You could just open it and leave it and hope that
by the time you're sick, the Coke will be ready.
Yeah. Or you could do what I do and then just put a little bit of sugar. It then does fizz. It kind of...
So you're adding sugar to Coke?
I think that's why I get better.
It's because so much energy. If you are feeling sick and you try it with Pepsi, you die.
Garage of Groundbreaking Inventions.
Welcome to the Garage of Groundbreaking Inventions. Simon's walking in on a horse.
I'm just walking in, thank you very much. Wearing clogs.
Oh, yeah. Or hooves. Do you guys pronounce it hoofs or hooves?
Well, definitely hooves.
I go hooves with a V, not hoofs.
Oh, there's a third way.
Yeah.
I like hooves.
What do you mean you like hooves? Who says hooves?
They're British. I've heard it before.
Nah.
Roofs.
That's definitely hooves.
That's roofs. Anyway, so we're going to discuss some groundbreaking inventions this week to do with James Bond, because he has some groundbreaking inventions, but not all the ones he needs. I recently watched Spectre a couple of weeks ago. Simon tried to movie review it, but both of us hadn't seen it, so we just discussed Bond in general. Now we can talk about it at length and how it is.
I wouldn't say it.
I thought it was pretty.
Yeah, well, you liked Star Wars.
Yeah, I did.
So did I. Doesn't really prove anything.
So, yes, what do you think James Bond, the character, could have that would help him?
I like the idea of him having an ejector seat. Now, I know you're going to say he has an ejector seat.
Mm.
And you're right, he does. In his car, though.
Yeah.
I think every seat in the James Bond films should have the ability to eject someone out of it. Okay. I think that would be perfect. Like, right. Any situation.
That is a good idea.
Like, kind of inside in an office building.
Yes.
So where's he going to go?
He's probably just going to break his head on the roof.
I see.
Or sorry, the roof. Whatever Dylan wants to pronounce it. But I think that would make the film so much more interesting, because you wouldn't know. No one would be safe. Yeah. Everyone would be like sitting down places very awkward. Like, oh, is it going to happen?
Especially those moments with the bad villain dude, turns around on slowly on a revolving chair, and then like as he clicks, oh crap, boing.
But that's like the only chair in the movie. There's only the bad guy sits down. And then he gets briefed. And the rest of the time he's running around.
I'm pretty sure you can see some chairs.
You think so?
I'm also...
M sits at a chair. Q sits at a chair until he stands up.
We obviously don't see everything that happens. They're like, you know, when James Bond, for example, is going from one amazing location to the other.
Yeah.
It's not like you see him sitting on the plane for 5 hours.
Ejector seat on a plane.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, every seat's game. And he just presses a button on his, I don't know, lapel, and then that person goes flying.
Wasn't there a scene, do either of you know GoldenEye very well?
No.
I mean, we're friends on Facebook.
So
it's,
no.
It's
no.
Complicated.
There's a scene in which James Bond and the lady of the hour are kind of tied up in a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And the helicopter's going to explode, I think.
Yeah.
I can safely assume. And they manage to eject. He like headbutts, because he's tied up. He headbutts the ejector button. So there is actually an ejector seat in that one. But yeah, it's a helicopter. But now, if you eject out of a helicopter, don't you go straight into the blades? Discuss.
Oh, yeah.
It depends how fast you eject, I guess. If you're ejecting really, really fast and your timing's perfect, you might survive. If not, I don't know.
Do you eject downwards or to the left or the right? That would make more sense.
They don't. They eject straight up.
Really?
Maybe the blades are further back.
Or maybe the blades eject as well at the same time.
Yeah,
that would be super dangerous.
And then you catch them and then you can carry on flying.
Like a
mini helicopter.
Defs.
I also thought about an ejector seat idea, strangely enough.
Fair enough.
But not so much as in there everywhere, but they are still in the car. But sometimes you just want to eject for a bit. And like the catastrophe that follows isn't actually that bad that you want to... Also, when he ejects and he just lands on the ground, he's worse off. At least in a car, you're mobile, you're fast. So I've got the idea of the ejector seat with a bungee cord.
Okay.
Much like your idea for bungee cords on like luggage in the stowaway part of an airplane, this ejects you in that moment of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever explosion happens, maybe the car gets quite damaged, but not that damaged.
Okay.
Or a rocket goes past or something like that, and you're just kind of boing back into the car, keep driving. Or at least slow down with like a gradual slowdown on the trajectory that the car was on when it exploded, when the wheels exploded or something like that. You're just not as much of a sitting duck.
Yeah, I like
literally.
That. It's very good.
I had a James Bond car when I was growing up.
Or Aston Martin?
No. It was Tyco, I think. Yeah, or Galoob. But it had an ejector seat, which was quite fun.
And did you put like a Lego man in the ejector seat? And
action figures that you got, but I don't think I had all of the right ones.
Okay.
So I would have put a G.I. Joe or something. Lego man would have been a bit small.
Yeah,
like a baby.
He would have ejected
Andrew,
really far.
You know that you can't put a baby in the front seat. And if you didn't know that, that's the kind of thing you're going to need
to
know.
Thank you. I'll write that down.
Yeah. Also, I don't know why they haven't thought of this. A machine that crafts a mask that looks like another person's face that you can carry around with you on missions. Put it down. Craft a latex mask. Put it over your face.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're incognito.
No, I mean, that's good, but that's also Mission Impossible.
Different worlds.
Yeah, I guess.
How in this world, where Mission Impossible doesn't exist, have they not thought of this?
And how do the people in Mission Impossible not just look like people with crappy latex masks on their face?
They're really good. Have you not seen?
Well, they just
you get the guy putting it on, and then, the actor Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
You get a mask of him putting on, and then a camera goes around behind someone's back.
Yeah.
You definitely don't notice a cut.
Yeah.
And when it comes around again, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I know.
It's a really good mask.
I really want to see what's in that cut, though.
No. Nothing happens. It's definitely Tom Cruise. Puts on weight somehow as well.
Yeah, otherwise, I mean, if you just want to do it well, I guess, because Mission Impossible masks are well. One's if they try it,
yeah.
If they do the research, and then end up with like Leon Schuster masks.
Yeah.
It's not going to be quite
those
the same.
Those masks at Cardi's that sit on the top shelf with Nelson Mandela and other people.
Okay, well, I've got some ideas. The first one is that James Bond is constantly going into bars and having to order drinks, okay? and one drink in particular. And it's always the same drink, all right? But he always has to order it, and then he has to tell people how to make it. Oh, I'll have one, please. which is, of course, the martini shaken, not stirred.
Yeah.
Vodka martini shaken, not stirred. Is it vodka martini?
It is vodka martini, yeah.
So just get him a portable vodka martini maker, which like does it all for him. And he doesn't have to speak to a strange barman. He can just go... Or he can have one of those like beer hats on the top with the straw.
Yes, I'm in.
He can shake it himself and then the straw straight into his mouth. No dealing with barman.
Have either of you ever had a vodka martini?
No.
Neither have I, but I'm quite intrigued because I really like olives and it always looks like so great. And it also looks like the kind of drink that if you walked around at a bar that sold them, there'd be loads of olives just hanging about. Not that I want to go scraping other people's olives out of used glasses. But really, a drink that comes with
sounds
olives.
Sounds like you want to do that.
It's like a better version of a drink that comes with celery. Like the
which drink?
Bloody Mary.
Oh, Bloody Mary.
Oh, I like the drinks that come with cherries. Because I love a good glacé cherry. And then it gets a bit boozy. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would ever order a drink exclusively because it comes with a cherry. I'd just rather keep a little box of those Royale glacé cherries on me.
But that's generally the mystery with the fruit or vegetable that comes with your drink, is that it's not on the item. It's always a mystery. It's not like Bloody Mary with celery. It's just a Bloody Mary, and then sometimes it comes with celery and sometimes it doesn't.
No, but is it sometimes it comes with celery, sometimes it doesn't, or is it sometimes it comes with celery, sometimes it comes with carrot, sometimes it comes with a sweet potato? Hopefully it's always either the celery or nothing. At all.
Yeah.
The thing about the ordering at the bar is, isn't that half of the way that he meets all these women, though? If he walked in with a vodka martini hat, I'm not sure he'd have as big a track record with the ladies.
The life of the party.
Yeah, he'd be the life of the party.
He's pretty suave when he orders those drinks at the bar.
Yeah.
And once again, my whole thing with James Bond is that for someone that's meant to be a spy, he's never, ever really inconspicuous. He's always driving fancy cars, wearing a suit. Mm. He sticks out like a sore thumb. Mm. That's sore because you've had too much coke and it's fallen off. Now, I want to know, do you think this is just too much then? The vodka martini hat, is that just going to... Vodka martini sounds like a soccer player.
maybe it is going too far. I have one other suggestion, which is... we've all heard of the Bond girls, okay?
Yes. Sure.
But what happens when, you know, it's a Sunday, everyone's got a rest, and he wants to have a nice barbecue, where he gets out his Bond grill and he fries up his meat on his Bond grill, because it's got a drinks holder. It's got a few other useful things like a temperature gauge, Bond grill, TM.
Doesn't ask him any questions.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful thing to say.
That's just something that you've said so you can make that pun.
Yeah. You guys have figured me out.
Long ago.
I like it.
Is it a sketch show? No! It's a sketch no show!
Welcome to Is It a Sketch Show? No, it's a sketch no show. The round in which I've been drawing, should I say sketching, this beautiful vista in front of me. Mm. I'm sitting at the table in Simon's lounge, I got a mountain in front of me. I got, you're coming over, it seems.
Yeah, I'm going to come over. It's, I like to every now and again see what you've been up to.
Today I'm pulling out my nibs.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Nibs on display.
I got these nibs from a clutch pencil, okay. But I don't have the pencil itself, just all the right. Nibs.
That, I mean, you're a true artist. That's the kind of thing that Pablo would have done.
This is the kind of thing that people will say set me apart.
Mm.
His drawings were terrible. He had only the nibs of a clutch pencil. So what are you thinking about what's happening here so far? I mean, we've established that the tree is quite bad.
The tree is very much your standard child's tree.
Yeah.
With, you know, hole in the center, the obligatory center hole and all.
Yeah, but if you look at that tree, it's kind of got one of those big eye knots in the middle.
Yeah, well, you've drawn it as if it's like there's more depth perhaps to the hole than there is in real life.
And that a little woodpecker might pop out.
Yeah, you could fit a whole bunch of woodland creatures in the hole you've drawn, whereas there you would be lucky enough to fit a teaspoon.
Yeah.
But I do like what you've done. I want you to get to the details in the flat. I'm hoping to at some stage see a little bit of
okay, well, I've got my nibs, so let's have a go. I am awful at drawing. I've never been good at it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually most proud of the tree, which turns out to be quite poor. So I think I'm done for today, actually. I'm starting to feel depressed.
It's okay. There'll be more times to draw. Don't you worry.
I can't believe the quiz is coming. It just pulls me out of that place.
The quiz!
That's right, it's time for the quiz. And last week's quiz was David Bowie, or should I say... No, David Bowie.
Yeah, you should say David Bowie.
I should say David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
David Bowie, Joey, Friends, Matthew Perry.
Right.
Okay.
Not it's joining the Matthew Perry quiz.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is it really the Matthew Perry
quiz? It's the Matthew Perry quiz.
Oh, how exciting.
Do you guys know a lot about Matthew Perry?
Not a lot, but...
I reckon heat it up a bit. Let's do the Matthew Perry quiz.
I haven't prepared that one. I have to go to Nando's. Not a sponsor. Okay.
I hate Nando's.
We're going to start with Matthew Perry round one. And question one is interestingly related to what we've been talking about, which is funny. So the top part of his right middle finger is missing. Maybe he drank too much Coke. since his grandfather accidentally did what?
Beep.
Simon.
He cut it off with a knife while playing that game where you do the tick on the table. And
that game is so much more fun for the stabber than the stabby.
Never play that with your granddad. He's never going to be good at that game.
It's wrong. Sorry.
Is it the lawnmower?
The lawnmower is... Yeah. You mean he lawnmowed him?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Okay.
A particularly bad game of bingo.
What? So I slammed it down. That's great. No.
Is it the buzzsaw in the garage? They were carpenting together.
Well, I wish that their relationship was at that level, but unfortunately not. This is much more...
Heinous.
No, it's much more basic. Something that we could do every day. Well, not me, because I...
Just scissors. He was just cutting some documents.
No.
It's to do with driving a car.
It is.
Yeah, you drive a car.
No.
Well, no. You know.
He slammed the finger in the car door.
Is the right answer.
How has Simon got that?
He got it. You said driving a car. No, he wasn't driving a car.
It's to do with a car. At that point, you go, yes, then we move on to round
Simon
two.
Simon got it 100% right. I've got to give it to Simon.
You got it like, you know, 50% right. What
well,
are we?
I don't see 50% of a point going down on that page.
That's right. Okay, question two is, what sport does he avidly enjoy?
Baseball.
No.
Basketball.
No, this fencing. Is he once considered playing this professionally before becoming an actor.
American football.
No.
A cricket?
I'll give you a clue. It's an individual sport for the most part.
Chess.
No.
Solitaire.
No.
Tennis.
Yes, the right answer. Well done, Dylan.
It's an individual sport.
Yeah, when the ball comes to you, it's just you and the ball.
Yeah.
But why did you look at me weirdly when I said chess? That's also when the...
Yeah, but how much of a sport?
Comes to you?
Is it a sport? Do you sweat?
Sport. It's definitely a sport.
If you don't sweat, it's not a sport.
Look, I'm not expecting a point. I'm just expecting you to acknowledge chess as a sport.
Okay, chess is a sport. Question three. He was the only person among six main leads of Friends who was allowed to do what?
Wait, so basically,
of all the Friends cast, the main Friends cast, he was the only one who was allowed to do something.
Smoke. Yes.
Is incorrect.
You've got my buzzer.
Play the music.
No. This has to do with the production of the show.
Edit.
No.
Be in the edit suite.
It's earlier than that.
You could do improvise.
Nope.
Oh, that would be so
It's even
good.
Before that.
Right.
Is the right answer. He could sit in with the writers.
Ah,
well done, Dylan.
Interesting.
I was the only one. Right, we're going to move on to round two, which is filming good.
Glad to be here.
The next five titles are going to be titles of movies that he's been in.
Okay.
All right, one of them is incorrect.
Well,
it's
then
false.
You're wrong. The next four titles.
So, here they are. Not necessarily the news. Morning Maggie. Second Chance. Dance Till Midnight. Empty Nest.
Bam. I reckon it's not necessarily the news.
Not necessarily the news.
Morning Maggie.
Morning Maggie. I'm afraid you're both wrong. It was Dance Till Midnight.
Oh. That's weird. Then what did I watch?
Yeah,
you watched Dance Till Dawn, maybe?
Dance Till Dawn.
Dance Till Dawn.
That is what I watched, yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't in that.
Not a Matthew Perry Perry in.
None of you got points for that, and we're going to move quickly on to round three, which is finish the...
elevator.
Matthew Perry?
Quote. He said, "When I die, I'd like friends to be listed behind..."
Bam! Salty Towers.
No.
My gravestone.
Behind the gravestone.
Yeah.
Is incorrect. This is... I don't think you're going to get this. The answer was helping people. So in other words, he thinks friends should be a way of helping people.
So he puts helping people above faulty titles.
I know, ridiculous.
What a strange man.
The second quote is, "I have a well-documented history of trouble with..."
Bam, alcohol.
So, I'm going to give you a point because that is true.
Car doors.
That is also true. The correct answer was, "I have a well-documented history of trouble with intimacy."
Oh, okay.
Why?
Obviously not that well documented.
Why does Simon get the point for that when he said alcohol?
Because it was really funny and it's true.
Yeah.
That's very interesting that you can just add on.
Oh, this
you
is
know
how the,
that a
this
quote
is how the
has
quizzes,
to be
this
word
is how the
for
quiz
word
has always
to
worked.
Be a quote.
Yeah. This is how the quiz has always worked.
I'm not sure it has.
So, you don't see how I score these things. Right. Question three is,
just
after,
as well.
After, exactly, after I got my first laugh on stage, I was...
Broccoli.
addicted.
Yeah, it was hooked. I'm going to give that to Simon. Well done. He was hooked.
You're going on the alcoholism thing again. That can't be the answer for everything.
definitely not.
The final round is distant relative, which is something to do with this character. And of course, we are looking at friends.
Right.
Right.
So the first question is, when the last series ended, each cast member was given something from the set. What was it? As a memento. As a memento.
Wasn't it like a coffee mug or something like that?
No.
Was it a piece of the door?
No, you kind of getting closer.
A piece of the set,
this
so
is
I can't
this
one.
Is an exterior item, and
a
it's
car.
Quite it's quite obscure.
An obscure car.
Is it not like one of the paintings? A piece of a painting that was in the.
No, this room. Is something that you would find outside of Central Perk.
It's a parking meter.
You're getting closer.
The railings,
you need to move your eyes lower to the ground.
Pavement
is the right answer.
City hub, those things that sit over the manholes.
That would
like
be better.
Ninja Turtles.
But it's a piece of the pavement.
Thank you.
That's stupid.
How stupid. How weird.
It's not stupid. It's amazing. And that's why I got a point.
I hope they got other things too. What a weird thing to open.
So weird.
Was it wrapped up?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, the series was wrapped up.
Right. The second question is, what do the cast do before filming each episode to wish each other luck?
Kick each other in the balls.
Bam. Did they not like...
No.
I had each other on the bum or something. Wasn't that an episode of Friends where one of the bosses patted like a bum tap, whatever, and maybe they ironically did that?
Maybe. It's incorrect.
Do they just give each other a nice big hug?
Yes. They had a huddle. So well done. That's what they did. Pretty basic.
Huddle, not huggle.
Well, that's close enough.
I'm not going to get points for being hilarious. I'm going to hope to get them by getting the answers right.
The final question is, the average Friends episode took how long to film in hours?
I'm going to guess 3 hours.
3 hours?
6 hours.
Dylan is closer. It was 5 hours.
Yay.
Well done.
That was great. I saw you calculating in your head there.
And, so the scores are tied.
Oh my word, tiebreaker.
Wow. So I have a bonus question.
I don't have a bonus question.
Awesome, I get the points.
But I'm gonna make a bonus
ugly
question.
Ugly naked guy.
Okay.
Love life. DOA, dead on arrival. Awesome.
Woo. Oh my.
What's
God.
Going on? What is going on?
Janice.
What? Okay. Here's the question.
Yeah.
Name all of the characters' names as fast as you can.
Rachel Ross, Rachel Chandler, Ross. Joey, Monica, Phoebe.
Dylan wins. Well done, Dylan.
I hope you enjoyed listing the names of a series that you don't even like.
I do enjoy it. I enjoy it more. I steal the point.
Well, let's not linger too much in this victory.
I steal the point.
Nah, I mean, did
Simon,
he win?
Simon, I steal the point.
Hard to know if you won or not.
It's quite easy. Just listen back. In fact, I'm still celebrating right now.
I never listen back.
It's quite easy to tell because I'm so stoked.
Is that the theme music playing? Yeah, it is.
Thanks
the theme
for
music
listening,
playing.
Everyone. Come back next week.
And yeah.
Bye. Andrew, you're pregnant. Bye.